Now, if you caught any of the World Cup matches, you must have noticed the amount of betting ads offering great odds on live matches, and you could bet on some of them instantly on your mobile phone. Labour's deputy leader Tom Watson described the volume of gambling ads as one of the only downsides to a brilliant World Cup. Now, next year, Italy will become the first European country to ban gambling advertising altogether. And what do you think? Is that something we should maybe do here? We should consider, given the dangers that we know of problem gambling and the effects and impact it can have on someone's life. Or maybe you think that would just be the nanny state reacting yet again. 0-30-30-80-55-55. With me now, Emma Wolfe and Dave Atherton. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. The Guardian newspaper revealed that World Cup viewers were exposed to almost 90 minutes of betting adverts throughout the tournament. That's a shocking amount, Dave. And let's not forget who watches football. You've got young people as well as adults.
And, you know, the thing, you know, to my mind, you know, this is again the nanny state. So, you know, you have to be 18 to bet. And what? And if you are 18 years of age and you will watch programmes like this and you will open up an account, what is wrong with that? Why is it up to somebody else to tell me what to do with my life and my money?
The issue can be, some people do have problems with addictions, whatever reason might be behind that. And if it is gambling, for example, seeing this all the time isn't going to help them deal with that problem. And indeed, it could entice new people in, as it's designed to do, who could, as a result, have a problem.
Well, the simple fact is the problem with gambling in this country for the last decade or so, since 1999, has hovered around at 0.6%, 0.7% margin. There is no evidence that there is an increase in problem gambling in this country.
Do you believe then that the fact there's no, for example, adverts for cigarettes or cigars on TV anymore, do you think that is a wrong move? It should be open to all and then see.
Yes, I would allow the advertising of tobacco after 9 o'clock in the evening. I have no problems with it whatsoever. So we put on alcohol adverts. A lot of football teams are sponsored by lobby companies. No, you know, if it is that adult legally via product, I can't see why it can't be advertised.
Okay, Emma Wolf?
Look, online betting is a huge problem, and it's an extremely hidden and shameful and destructive habit, and it's a problem that people don't open up about. Tom, I'm afraid you're wrong that there are actually nearly 500,000 problem gamblers in the UK. And, you know, the big events, which are great fun, the big events like the World Cup, which are great fun, actually normalise this problem, because it's fine for any of us to have a bet on the World Cup or on the Grand National or whatever. I spoke to a friend of mine who was addicted to gambling at university, and he said the problem is the unlimited availability of online betting. He said you can literally go all night. And he also said the problem is that for him, no physical money is involved, right? So it doesn't feel like a financial transaction. Your losses don't feel real. This is a major problem. It wrecks lives. It leads to relationship breakdowns, drug addiction, even suicide in some cases, poverty, all of those kinds of things. It is a massive problem. And, you know, even the ban is problematic, because of the global nature of advertising and the internet and things like that. You can't have a total ban, a total gambling ban on the internet and TV.
Okay. Dave Atherton, I want to bring in another issue relating to Northern Ireland. There was a report published in 2016, and that showed Northern Ireland as having the highest proportion of problem gamblers in the entire UK. 2.3%, and that was more than double that of England, three times of that of Scotland, and nearly five times higher than that of England. When you look at it in that perspective and we localise it here, that's serious.
Well, we follow back up my figures. The level of problem gambling is about 0.7%.
2.3 here.
Oh, yeah, but you said five times more, so you divide 2.3 by five. It comes out around, you know, 0.6, 0.5. So that rather confirms my figures. I don't know. Is it something to do with the Northern Irish and Irish culture? I don't know. Maybe because, you know, you live in a less sort of like liberal society over there. So, you know, gambling, for example, I've been playing online gambling now, online poker now, for about 12 years. You know, I make a small profit, maybe something like 500.
Of course, a lot of people would not make any profit and would, in fact, make a deficit. Emma, when it comes to then restricting advertising or removing advertising for something like gambling, would you then extend it to other things that are bad for your health? For example, if it's bad food, if it's alcohol, which is advertised on TV, these are all things that can become serious vices for some people.
Yeah, and I do think there is a case for regulation on some of those things, and I've argued obviously on your show in the past before about, you know, the constant advertising of junk food and the cutting, you know, the deals on junk food and that kind of thing for obesity. But you know, this online gambling thing, the problem with a ban is that it then drives many people towards sort of unlicensed operators who don't comply with the fairly lax regulations and framework.
Does it?
And can I just say that these slogans like, oh, when the fun stops, stop, it's a load of baloney, I'm afraid. It's not a question of it being fun and then knowing that the fun has stopped and then stopping. That's not the process by which problem gambling happens. You don't think this is no longer fun, it's an addiction, and then you stop or then you seek help.
These
companies are just, you know, that they're ticking the boxes by saying, contact us if you think you have a problem. That's what they're doing. They're ticking the box.
I've noticed, David, a different kind of a change of tack when it comes to gambling and things that are aimed at the female market. For example, you see different bingo games, and there's it's almost like it's playful.
Fun.
It's playful. It's fun.
And it's pink and it's fun.
It's pink and it's sexy. And I'm in the queue for the supermarket, and I'll have a quick gamble here. You know, I'm sitting on the sofa. I'm at the gym. Have a quick swipe. Oh, it's great fun. Do you think, is there any danger in that, the perception of gambling and what it can lead to? Because there's not much of a warning there for the dangers.
Well, it's called marketing, isn't it? You know, and quite frankly, guys, Emma and Steve, you know. Don't you think this is a bit sexist? A betting company wants to, you know, obviously expand its clientele. And the fact that he's used a particular marketing technique for a particular demographic, yeah, and you're criticising, I think that's entirely wrong.
No, I'm asking you to take a little bit more seriously the problem of online gambling and what that addiction can lead to. I'm asking you to take a bit more seriously people being up all night and spending all their money and waking up in the morning and realising they've lost another couple of £1,000. You know, this is real. This wrecks lives. I'm asking you to take that seriously.
So hang on a second, Emma. Where does personal responsibility begin? And where does the government then take responsibility for other people's bad decisions?
Well, you know, that's an ongoing debate, isn't it? The nanny state and all of that kind of thing. But I'm saying this is such
a... Well, exactly. You know, to my mind, the more the state interferes with people's rights, the more people will lose their sense of personal responsibility.
Right, so should we just legalise heroin and all of that kind of thing? I mean, when things are dangerous...
In a word, yes.
Oh, you're not serious, Dave. You want to legalise heroin now?
Decriminalised, like they do in Portugal, whereby it's led to a reduction in consumption. Now, in Portugal, if you're caught in possession of a certain amount of heroin and cocaine, you will not be arrested.
And let's remember, we're not talking about making gambling illegal. We're talking about the possibility of removing advertising for gambling.
Some kind of regulation on showing vast quantities of advertising for gambling, making it look fun and joyful and sexy during times when children are watching, when people, you know, when you get these 24 million people watching the World Cup and constant gambling ads.
So therefore, you want the state to be the mother and father of children. It's not the parents' responsibility to make sure they don't gamble.
When a habit becomes that damaging and that addictive, yes, I do think there is an argument for regulation.
Well, no, the other side of the coin, Emma, though, is that what Inslee and Gilmore, who was anti-alcohol, admitted that children who are introduced to alcohol at an early age in a sort of close family environment are less likely to have drinking problems later on. So if you have a little bet on the lottery, you're on a set.
Okay. We'll leave it at that for now. Emma Wolfe and Dave Atherton, thank you very much.